Chapter 24, really quick. I just want to summarize it. And then we have like just a couple of verses left, and then we'll open this up for all of us to share what we have, what God spoke to us about, and what stood out. And this is for everyone to share. So verse 24, Joshua is gathering everyone together. And I really do like how he summoned the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officers, and the people. He summoned everyone. It's like, this is a moment for all of us to stand together. This is a moment of unity. It doesn't matter if you're from this tribe or that tribe. It doesn't matter if you're a judge or you're a leader or an officer. It doesn't matter. This is a time for all of us to stand together, because we want to put some basics. We want to put some foundations together. You know, this is a great thing for, I mean, for every family to do. It's a great thing for every church to do. It's a great thing for every community to do. You know, in the last week, I've heard the word unity so much, just because of that, you know, incident that happened and all of that. And I just kept thinking, like, I like the word unity. It's great. But what are you gonna unite about? You know, what are you uniting about? Just the love of the country? It's great, but it's not enough. You know, morals and values? It's great, but it's not enough. The only thing that can unite us is a true change, true service, true purpose that God gives to all of us. And this is what Joshua is doing right here. I understand you're from this tribe. I understand you're from this tribe. I understand that you have this job and you do this job. You're coming from here. You're coming from there. You're all different, and that's fine. But there's one purpose. There is one purpose, and that purpose is given to all of us by God. And you know, we can come to here. We are all different, and that's great. There is nothing wrong with that. God created us that way. And the unity that we have is the purpose we have from God, the love that God has for us, the salvation that God gave to all of us, the address, that final destination that we're all going to, all of us. So we can live here as different as we can be, but we know that at the end of the day, we are one body. Just like my hand is so different than my ears, so different than my nose, we're different. We're different. But at the end of the day, we're one body. And I just kept thinking, as I hear the word unity, 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 you know, and I kept thinking, Lord, maybe this is the time that for people to realize that we can be united. We can be united, but it has to be something completely different. You know, with all due love and respect to the flag and to everything, but it's not going to be able to unite us. There has to be something more powerful, something that will change the heart. Something that will change the purpose why we're living, that will unite all of us. And Joshua here is doing that. He is uniting everyone. What are uniting them to do? To go to war? What are uniting them to do? To do something? No, he is uniting them to speak the word of God to them. You know, and he starts by God's faithfulness. You want to unite people? You want to make a difference? Speak of God's faithfulness. So he talks to them. He starts going through the whole history, starting with Abraham. And we learned in the last couple of weeks, he goes about God's faithfulness from when he called us, when he called Abraham and told him, and he's pursuing Abraham. Then he goes after Moses and how he gave Moses a new purpose in life when Moses felt like, my life is done. You know, I left everything in Egypt, I have messed up. And now here I am, 40 years in the wilderness. My life is done. And God comes and say, oh no, I have a new purpose for you. I have a new plan for you. I have something new for you that will change your mind. Remember that little seed that you had in your heart about saving your brothers and sisters? That's what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do it differently. You're not going to do it with your muscles. You're not going to do it with the understanding that you have or the wisdom that you gained from Egypt. No, you're going to do it completely relying on me. Also, not only that, but I'm going to teach you how to fight the right fight. That your fight is not against flesh and blood. That your fight is against the powers and the principalities and the of this world that you're gonna fight. Just like he taught the Israelite to fight, he's gonna teach us how to fight the right fight as well. Not only that, I want you to fight for victory, not for victory. And that's also, by the way, this is one of the things that I have learned through this book, to fight from victory, not to fight for victory. So Joshua is taking them through all of this. God is pursuing you. God has a plan for you. God will prosper you. God will in your fights. God will teach you how to fight the right way. God will give you victory. And then he tells them, but here's the thing, you will have that choice, and you will have to make that choice every single day of your life. Not only every single day, but in many occasions of your life, in many ways, in many times in your day, where you're going to have to choose, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve this post on social media, or are you going to serve God? Are you going to serve this cookie that's staring at you, or are you going to serve God? Because you got to control the flesh a little bit. Are you going to serve this gossip news, or are you going to serve God? What are you going to serve? Choose today, who are you going to serve? You know, and because he said, but for me, I am making this decision right now, and I'm going to keep making this decision. I will serve God. My family, my children, everyone that is around me, we are serving God. And then commitment to serve God. And the people of Israel said, now we can get on board. Now we can be on the same page, because absolutely, we saw what God has done. We saw what God did for us. And there is this revelation that they saw. You know, there's this revelation. Wait a second. We saw what God has done for us. We saw how God conquered kings and kingdoms and brought down walls and led us through wars. We saw what God has done for us. And absolutely, we want to serve God. It doesn't take a genius. It's just a clear picture for us right now. And we talked about the importance of a revelation that we seek and we ask from God. And then he talks to them about the covenant, making a covenant and make it known, like make it known that you are serving God, that you love God, that you are following God. And then in verse 29 and 30, we finally see that Joshua dies. And it says, sometime later, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. And this, remember that Joshua was the last person to receive inheritance. He said, everyone needs to be settled first. Everyone needs to take what God has for them, and I'm going to be last. And the meaning of that place that he took is abundance. You know, it that's what it that that's what it means. It's abundance. So even in his death, so while he is living, he experienced the abundance, and while he is dead, he's experiencing the abundance as well. And it ends a mighty man of God's life. And this is just a reminder that we're all going to end up in that same place. We're all going to end up in that day. But what we do, you know, what we do during that time is what matters. You know, I can live 80 years. That doesn't matter. I can live 90 years. That doesn't matter. That doesn't count. What counts is how much of those years did I serve God? How much of those years I avoided distractions? How much of those years I surrendered to God and what I have done in those years? Did I bring people to Christ? Did I serve my brothers and sisters? Did I make a difference? Did I speak to someone? Did I bring a smile to someone's face? Or my years are counted as lost years, that I was nothing but a curse, not a blessing to others. This is how we count our years. Joshua lived his life not regretting one moment of it. He served God. He fought for God. He led his people. He loved on his people. He went after the things of God. God tells him, you know, one of the things that God kept telling him, do not be afraid. Have courage, do not be afraid, have courage, I will be with you. And he believed it and he went after it. You know, the same words that are being spoken to you and to me every single day. If we are not distracted by this world and listening to God. I used to do this little practical thing with the kids when they were young. I used to have them put like headphones and like play music really loud, and I would sit like across the room and say, I think I'm gonna give ice cream to Gracie today. And that was her thing. Like, Gracie, if you give her $1 million or a scoop of ice cream, she will, when she was young, she will take the scoop of ice cream. No doubt. Like, that's her thing, you know? And Elijah, I would say, I think I want to give Elijah $5 because he loved saving money. So I'm at the other side of the room saying these things. They can, like, if they don't have the headphones, they can hear me, right? And then I'd say, okay, take the headphones off. Did you guys hear anything? No. I was like, nothing. Like, no, we didn't hear anything. I was like, well, because I just said that I want to give Gracie a scoop of ice cream and I want to give Elijah $5. And I was like, well, can we get it? I was like, well, you didn't answer me. I said, if you want that scoop of ice cream, I was like, the problem is I'm trying to give you something good, but your ears are plugged. Your ears are completely full of something else that you can't hear me. And that's what happens to us when we are so distracted by the world. Another time, I would like blindfold them and I would put like a $10 on the table, you know, and say, all right, there's a gift for you here somewhere. And of course, they can't see anything. They're just like, you know, blindly going around and take it off and say, see, there was something good for you, but you couldn't see it because you're blinded, you know. And these are little silly things that I used to do with our 3 and 4 year old, you know, to just draw this picture that when we are distracted, we don't experience the fullness of what God is giving us, the fullness of what God has been speaking to us, the fullness of what God has for us on the table, and of His mercy and grace. You know, I used to do these things for the kids, but I am reminded of these things often because my heart tells me a lot of times that I'm distracted. I'm distracted with this, I'm distracted with that. And I wonder, while I'm being distracted, what God was whispering to me. I wonder, while I'm being blindfolded by so many things that I'm doing, what God had for me on His table of grace and mercy that I missed out on. You know, Joshua here is reminding us that what counts, the word of God and the book of Joshua is reminding us what counts is what you've done, what we've done for God and with God during our life here. 110, 180, 60, 40, it doesn't really matter. What matters is what we did with that time. And the first thing we need to avoid is distraction, being blinded to what God is saying and what God is whispering. God is always, always whispering something to all of us, you know, whether you're in the car, whether we're at the gym or at work, God is always whispering something, trying to say something, trying to speak to my heart and your heart, trying to show us something from Him. And then in verse 31, it says, Israel had served the Lord throughout the days of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, and who had experienced all the work that the Lord had done for them. And this is what a great testimony to his life. You know, not only the wars, not only the country, not the country that they possessed, not only all of that, but here it is. Israel served the Lord throughout the days of Joshua. I read this today and I was like, what is it going to be? What is going to be said about me one day? Did Elijah and Grace and Dina serve the Lord while I was alive? Did I bring them closer to God every day? Did my coworkers, my friends from church, my family, the neighbors, did they become closer to God while I was alive? Did I make that difference in their lives? or it doesn't, or my life didn't matter at all? Were they able to see some kind of light through my life or not? This verse is one of the most powerful verses in the book of Joshua, that Israel had served the Lord throughout the days of Joshua, and the elders who outlived them and had experienced all the work that the Lord had done for them. So the first thing that you see here is that his life made a difference. While he was living, he made a difference. Not only him, the elders who had experienced all the work of that the Lord had done for Israel. So the experiences that they went through made a difference, not only in their lives, but in the lives of those who were around them. You know, what are those experiences? Crossing the Jordan, that wasn't easy. What are those experiencing? Getting circumcised right after crossing the Jordan, was that easy? Nope. You know, walking around the walls of Jericho, was that easy? Nope. Getting defeated at Ai, was that easy? Absolutely not. Having these kings with hundreds and thousands of troops coming after you, was that easy? Absolutely not. Going after the giants, going up to the mountains, doing all of these things, were any of these things easy? Absolutely not. But right here, it makes it all worth it when it says that they served the Lord throughout the days of Joshua, and the elders who outlived them and had experienced all the works that the Lord had done for Israel. So as we are going through some difficulties, I know sometimes we can't see this, but just remember, the difficulties you're seeing, the experiencing you're having with God, the experiences I'm having with God, is going to leave a little bit of crumbs for the generations around us, for people around us. It's going to leave a blessing for someone that is watching, someone who is witnessing that what God is doing in your life and in my life. So maybe someone you love, maybe your children, maybe your grandchildren, maybe your neighbors, maybe your brothers or sisters, maybe someone is in need, not for you to give them a message, but maybe is in need for you to go through the experiences you're going through, and to see you thankful, and to see you encouraged, and to see you standing still, and to see you in faith. Maybe that's the message they want to hear. Because the elders and the rest of them didn't preach often, right? I don't see anything that says that the elders were preaching to the people of Israel. But what I see is obedience. What I see is going, claiming, and possessing, and doing all of these things. And that was the blessing. That was the lesson. That was the change that was going to make. That was the difference that was going to make in people's lives. So throughout Joshua's life, and the elders who experienced God's work, the Israelites followed the Lord. And then finally in verse 32, and it says, "And the bones of Joseph, which the Israelites had brought out from Egypt, were buried at Shechem, in a plot of land that Jacob had purchased from the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of silver." And we can go way back to that. It became inheritance for Joseph's descendants. And this is very much closing the door on Egypt. We're done with Egypt. You know, even the one connection, even the victory and the greatness that the Israelites had in Egypt, we're done with that. Our best moments in Egypt, we're done with it. We are burying it in the ground now in this new life, in this new land we have. And that is the end of the book of Joshua, a year and a half later. And I'm just only sad that Dina's not here today with me. I mean, she is home, but she's not feeling great. But what a great what a great time that was for us, you know, day after day, week after week, studying, coming, sometimes coming, feeling like I don't think I'll be able to make it to 7:15 because of how exhausted and how tired I was. But then all of a sudden, just God takes over, and I feel like I can go run a marathon after the Bible study, because of what God is. And we've witnessed his faithfulness every single time through this book. So now I'm going to be an audience, and I want to hear from you. We talked about everyone will bring two or three takeaways from the book of Joshua to share with the rest of the group.
Okay, for me, it was the chapter 23. You know, when Joshua was very old, and even though he was very old, still he has all the energy to keep going. So for him, it was not retirement time. It was nothing such as just keep going. You know, it doesn't matter if it's from, like you said, 80, 90, 100, but still he has the source of encouragement for his people and be an example for his people. And they saw it, how the way he was. So that was a good example for all the Israelites, you know.
Very
And
good.
he said, you know, and he, when you were talking about chapter 23, you were talking about the guy, God faithfulness, that we have to surrender all to God, you know, obedience to God's word, stay away from sin, acknowledge God's strength, and you remember God promises the good things, the good love. So that's my take of the first one of the chapter 23 as encouragement from Joshua in his old age, being an example
Good.
and demonstrating the God faithfulness and surrendering all to God.
Man. Thank you, Pastor Edwin.
You're welcome, my brother.
Yes, don't break into stadiums anymore, please.
The
Without me. That's the end of this. Next time you gotta call me.
man. That's
I
me.
wanted to thank you, like you said, first of all, to you and Dina, obviously Pastor Al and Dahlia, for continuing doing the Zoom meetings. We really appreciate that because we love doing this. But I wanted to also thank you for all your dedication. You and Dina, like you said, you know, there's times that you were tired. I know there was several times that you were traveling back and forth and right away coming and teach us. And it's been awesome and amazing to see the sample that you setting, you know, that you put everything aside, because honestly, it's a small group. And sometimes people could get discouraged by that, you know, but the love that you have for the Lord and for the people was greater, and you continue doing so. May the Lord bless you know,
Thank
and your
you.
family, and we could see that. And we really, really appreciate what you guys have done for it.
Thank you.
We're truly grateful, because there was times that we needed it. And like you said, it took a year and a half, but honestly, to me, it didn't feel like that. It
Yeah.
didn't feel like that to do one book in a year and a half, but it was worth it, you know. And what I took out, so I wanted to just thank you and give you.
Thank you.
We give God the glory, and but
Yes.
you as well for doing what you do. I through all the book, what I noticed, and it's how the part where it says, "Be courageous, stood out to me through all, and we saw from the beginning, because in the beginning of the chapter, if I'm mistaken, forgive me, but once they cross, I believe that the promised land was the west part for them, and they were in the east part where they were not supposed to be. So then Joshua had to lead them to the promised land. But that part also, it's, when you go and you make your home in a place and someone is coming to tell you to move, you expect things to, well, to go well. Well, it didn't, obviously. But the faith that Joshua had, and I relate that to you teaching, and encourage us to be courageous. To me, that is, because I am a weak person, as everybody knows, when it comes to certain areas and other things. I could tell myself that I am courageous to do things, but there's certain things that the Lord knows that is my weakness, and I needed that. I needed the encouragement that, and some part, honestly, I'm sorry, I was in a funeral, so I didn't prepare, but I was reading before. But I remember that I was going to speak about the stones that they put
Yeah, in the morning.
them, I don't know,
Chapter 4.
chapter four. There were those stones have the significance. First of all, God is our, Jesus is the solid stone that we stand. And also, those stones were reminders of what had happened, the transition, and the what is. So we have our own stones in our lives that those could be reminders of what God has done before, is doing, and will continue doing. So I remember that part where that was another part that, to me, is to go back and see, are those stones the ones that they are still there,
They
or they're also the,
got out of the Jordan and they put him across.
those are the same that they put when they did the 12 for each tribe?
Yes, those are the ones that
Yes.
each one
Okay.
stone for each tribe, correct.
Yeah, so that represents, so and so many other things that we saw through this book, encouragement, and also how to teach us, where it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, to be the samples and encouragement. I really appreciate everything that you taught us.
Man, God is good. This has been a great, really, this has been a great journey for us. I was just telling, I think, Pastor Alan Delia right before that we thought we were teaching, but we were learning. And it came in the perfect timing because we needed it during this season of our lives. Every single verse, every single chapter, every single study, we needed it in our life. We needed it for that specific season. It's like God was telling us, giving us a cheat sheet, for what we're gonna need for the next period, for the next few months. And it was a lot that changed in our life in the last year and a half. A lot has changed. And we had no idea. We were not prepared. We did not know what to do, but just studying God's word day after day. And really, it just the word that the verse that says that the word is planted in you to save you, it's just very true about the word of God that when you have it and you just meditate on it and you feel like God has been preparing me. God has been telling me that direction. He's been telling me that this is the way to come down and to come back and like get back on my knees and just obey God, trust God, just as you said, be courageous, it doesn't make sense to just walk around 13 times around these huge walls. It does not make sense sometimes to do things that we do, but that's what God said. And then I'm just going to wait for him. to show me why he said that. Right now, my job is to obey. My courage comes, in obeying God and trusting in something that I don't see. And here I am talking again. Anyway.
Let me jump in here. When you first started the studies, when we first started these studies, we mentioned, and it's been mentioned over and over, but we mentioned we were going to go through the battles that Joshua and the tribe of Israel had to fight, right? So we learned all the lessons week in, week out, all these lessons that we learned. And the main point that we learned and the thing that we need to remember is they weren't fighting to gain victory, they were fighting from victory. And that point right there is one of the key points, right? That all the things that we can apply in our lives, all the things we've learned throughout, is we're fighting from victory. And the great example, right now you just said the word is planted in you to save you. And one of the my favorite in this chat in this book is the story of Caleb, that he had that promise. He held on for 40 some odd years. He had to wait till they all died off, but he had that word, that promise planted in him. And then he came to the point and he says, okay, it's time, give me that mountain, right? And the fear and no fear and all the courage he had, he says, that promise is mine, right? Fighting from victory. So that's what stood out to me.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
So this whole thing, the connection between what's happening in Joshua and the study that we're doing in the book of Romans, I'm just amazed at how one confirms the other over and over and over again. Because even in the very opening chapter of chapter one, Joshua really is living in view of the mercies of God, as we've been talking about from chapter 12, where the Lord says to him three times at least, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. The old season is done. There's a new season that's coming, and I want you to know that I am with you and I've already given you the land." So he's coming from a place of fullness, a place of richness, a place of the promise of God has already been accomplished in his life. Then he says, "Now I want you to go in chapter two and begin to discover what really belongs to you. I want you to go and look at the entirety of the land. I want you to go up on those hills and look down and see the land that is filled with milk and honey. And I want you to see the fruit and the vegetation and the goodness of the land that's there. I want you to spy it out. Then I want you to cross the Jordan, because if you want that, if you want victory on the outside, you need to first have victory on the inside. There's no way you can gain victory out there until you first gain victory in here." And the Jordan, of course, means death, and the crossing meant death, and how not to approach too closely to the ark would be 2,000 cubits behind, because you've not gone this way before. And just the holiness of God and the reverence of God and the awe of God. I mean, this book really is just so beautifully drawn out, right? And then the stones that my sister was just referring to right now. My old life is dead, buried into the Jordan, and then fresh new life comes out on the other side. And then it's time for circumcision, which I believe in our life is just a continuous thing over and over and over again, right? And then the Battle of Jericho, how doing what you just said, doing things that do not make sense to us naturally, which takes us back to Proverbs. Do not lean on your own understanding. Just trust in God and what he says, and watch how beautifully things work out. And then the fact that there's still sin in the camp in the very next chapter. There's still sin in the camp. And that's why from time to time we'll have setbacks, but ultimately it's for our good, because God wants to purge the things that are still hidden deeper inside our hearts. And so, I mean, this is chapter after chapter. I'm not going to preach the whole book right now, but
Please do. It sounds really good.
it's just an amazing, amazing movie, if you will, like a roadmap that God is taking us on and says, "Now listen, every principle in the New Testament, I've given you pictures of in the Old Testament." And that's a fact. And so I think Joshua really is a picture for all of the beautiful things that we see, especially in the book of Ephesians, how it says that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And we are seated with Christ in those heavenly places. And all of those blessings that he's given us, we can see those actually fulfilled throughout the book of Joshua, of what God wants to give to us. And then when I look at the book of Romans, how he's saying that God has done all of this for us. And I'm living from that. I'm not trying to be a better person. I'm not trying to earn something from God. I'm simply responding to what he has already done. And I'm yielding to him in that regard. And one of the beautiful things is, you know, when you look at the name Joshua, how many families name their son Joshua or Elijah or Daniel or, you know, Paul or Timothy, these amazing names of these great people who have done some incredible things and have served the Lord faithfully. What could Joshua look back and say, I have regrets about this? Like, I wish I would have done A or B or C more in my life. I wish my bank account was a little bit bigger. I wish my this was a little bit larger. I wish my vacations were a little bit longer. I wish my... There's none of that in his life. The fact that he surrendered fully to the Lord makes him on his final day or just before he died to say, as for me and my house,
good,
we will serve the Lord. Which was an encouragement to the rest to serve the Lord. It wasn't a perfect life, but none of our lives are perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. But what a great example. And so my prayer for me, for us, is that I learn to live, we learn to live from the place of fullness, that what God has already done. I'm not trying to find fullness. I'm trying to find him and to live from the place of fullness. Not to simply try and be a better person or more of this or less of that. No, no. What has he already given me? I discover it and I begin to live it out. You wanted 3 points? I think I gave you 17. I'm sorry. I just can't.
But, no, that was more like 1 point. You got two more to go.
But it has been very, very good. And I echo what Soraya was saying. Thank you to you and Dina for your dedication and your commitment and your labor of love, as it were, which is not going to be rewarded here on earth. But I believe there's going to be big rewards when you finally get to glory and hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant.
Honestly, the love we have for this group, you know, really just seeing everyone every week, this to us, you have no idea what that means to us. It just brings so much joy to us. Wednesday night is a night we wait for, you know, because we get to spend time with you guys and just studying the word of God. There is nothing better than this. Okay, well, can I have a turn or no?
Absolutely.
Hey, well, a couple of things that I just remembered, you know, that were stuck with me for a while. One of them was in Joshua 18, when Joshua went to gathered everyone, because there were seven tribes that had not possessed their land yet. So in Joshua 18, there is a verse, in the verse 3, it says, so Joshua said to the Israelites, how long will you wait before you begin to take possessions of the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you? This has been a mark in this journey, where it felt to me like God has been promising you all of these gifts. God has been giving you all these victories. Why are you not taking them? And I remember we took a couple of weeks, you know, talking about this alone. And we talked about possibilities of why people are not doing it. And I actually, when I was putting these reasons, I was asking myself, why am I not taking possession of the land that God has given me? So what you didn't know during that time, so if you go back to listen to these messages or see, watch these videos, I was actually giving you my own experience. I was asking myself, like, why aren't you taking possession of the land? Why are you distracted? Why are you so comfortable where you are? Why are you so afraid to go and take possession? Why are you just happy with where you are and not wanting to learn new skill or not wanting to learn new ways of trusting God? Why are you this? Why are you that? I was testing my own heart before God, and that's what I was sharing with you. And it feels like this is a question that I ask myself every day, where, like, there is something new that God has for me. If God opened my eyes this morning, if God gave me new breath this morning, it means that God has a job for me to do today. It means that I am opening my eyes at 4 a.m. for a reason. not to get up to work out and go to work and come back, have dinner, watch a little bit of TV, do Bible study, and then go to sleep. That's not what I'm here for. God has a purpose for every moment that He has for me. And the question is, why haven't you possessed this purpose? Why haven't you worked for this purpose? Why haven't you claimed this purpose? Why haven't you, shine in this purpose? Because God doesn't just want us to take something and, and be okay with it. No, God wants us to shine while we're doing it. So that was a big thing for me. It's a question that I ask myself often. And in that same exact attitude is the daughters of Zelophehad. Pastor Al.
The loaf ahead.
Hey, there you go. And that was in Joshua 17. And I see those daughters as world changers. They did something that had never been done before. When I read about them and when we were studying about them, I started looking at also my own life. Again, a lot of times you didn't know this, but I was just telling my own story. I was telling on myself. We were telling on ourselves. We were telling our testimony with God, our experiences with God. I'm like, these five ladies did something that had never been done before. Not only in this country, but ever in the whole region, probably. But they saw a revelation. They found that this is the God of mercy. This is the God of grace. We are living right now in a season of grace. We, as all the Israelites, should not be out of Egypt, should not be out of slavery. We, as the Israelites, should not have survived the wilderness. We, as the Israelites, should not have come to this amazing, beautiful land. But it's all what? What was it? It's the grace of God. So if I am living in the midst of the grace of God, why am I holding back? Why am I putting rules? Why am I putting regulations? Why am I putting things that the world have put on me to stop me from experiencing the fullness of the goodness of God? See, they broke some walls that were much larger than the walls of Jericho. They broke every rule that they grew up hearing and learning and spoken out over them. And this is something that I needed to do for my own life. A lot of you know where I was raised, where I grew up, where what I went through in my life, Dina, and you probably have your own story. And there are things that where you feel like, no, this is preset. This is going to be this way. My life in this area is going to be this way. My life, I am not kidding you. I have heard this word before. Before I came to the States, I came to the States when I was like 18 and a half. Since I can remember listening and comprehending what people are saying, I used to hear that I'm not going to live to see my 20s. That was something that was said over me, that was told to me all the time, to the point that I am expecting myself to die young all the time. I'm just being completely open and vulnerable with you guys right now, truly. I've always thought I'm going to die young, for sure, 100%. 100%. There is no one doubt in my mind that I'm going to die very, very young. I shared that with Dina many, many times. Like, I know I'm going to die young. Like, that's just, why is that? Because that's what was spoken over me. That's the sort of things that I heard. I needed the courage of these daughters to come and bring everything that was told. Everything, every lie, everything that was preset that was not from God, and just tear it down and tear it apart. And that's exactly what they did. The courage they had to go to Moses, to hold on to that, to approach Moses for grace, to hold on to that promise, as just Pastor Mike just shared about Caleb, and hold on to that word, hold on to that promise. And as soon as they walk into the promised land, guess what? They claim that promise. They did something that had never been done before. And I was like, that's something I want to experience. It doesn't have to be something huge. It doesn't have to be something big. Maybe I was being dramatic with that, with the story that I just told you right now, but it's true. It's part of what I lived, and part of the battles I had to live and fight daily. but could be something small. Could be something as honestly as small as I can't say no to peanut butter cookies. Oh yes, I can. could be something as small and silly as this, or it could be something as, oh no, I am convinced that I'm not gonna live a long life. I am convinced I'm not gonna see my children. I'm convinced. No, these are words that are spoken from the enemy. These are words that are spoken from the kingdom of darkness. These are words that are not spoken by God, and those words need to be torn and completely eliminated for the rest of my life. Those daughters, those five young ladies did that and showed us how to do it. Approaching in humility, approaching in the season of grace. And by the way, we are living in the season of grace, approaching the God who's been giving without count, without holding back, approaching and holding onto the promise and waiting for it, and waiting for it. They spoke to Moses. They received the promise. Years and years later, they crossed and they see their promise. The story, the lessons I learned from them, I truly can't tell you how much it changed my life. It made me want to go grab every wall that I built around myself, around my whatever it is. Whatever wall I built myself, or whatever wall that the enemy built for me, whatever chain that the enemy had around my neck or my thoughts or my heart, break that in Jesus' name. We're in the season of grace.
Can I remind you of something, Hassan?
Yes.
When you were sharing with us the names of these young ladies, one was meaning forgiven, one was movement, one was dancing, one was queen or royal, and one was pleasing.
Correct.
Those are the five meanings of the names. I took notes. I learned from Pastor Mike, and actually got a pen and a paper. I started writing things down, old school. This is a pen, young people. This is a pen. So from God's perspective, exactly. From God's perspective, we are forgiven, we have been moved, we are rejoicing, meaning dancing, we are royalty, and we are pleasing in his sight. And this is why I don't have to settle for what's been spoken over me. I can choose to receive what God has spoken over me.
Amen.
And when he passed by me and he saw me struggling in my blood, he said, live. He
Amen.
said, live.
Amen.
Amen. So yeah, these two are the two things that stood out to me. I mean, it's everything literally been what I needed for the day and for the week. But these two things, these two lessons, I know I'm going to, in Jesus' name, remember them for the rest of my life. So I think this is it with Joshua. We're going to take a couple of weeks off. Dina and I are going to be traveling. So we're going to take a couple of weeks off. And what do you, I want to ask you all, what do you think for the next book? Please pray about it, and we will email. Do you want us to continue in the Old Testament to just go into the next book? You want us to go into a book in the New Testament? Pray about it, and we will reach out in an email the next couple of weeks, and just let us know what you think. We'll be praying as well, and I know God will lead us to something that will be helpful for all of us. Amen.
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 Okay, Pastor Mike, if you're still here, can you please pray for us?
Yes, sir, I am.
Thank
Heavenly
you.
Father, we thank you, Lord. Give you honor and glory, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for all these studies, Father God. We know that it's not over, Lord. Father, we call this just the beginning, Lord. Father, many, many more, Lord. Many more breakthroughs, Lord. Many more of your revelation, Lord. Father God, let just your goodness shine in us and through us, Father God, in our homes, Lord. Father, we thank you once again for these families represented, Lord. Those that listen after, Father God, we pray your peace, your goodness, Father God. And Lord, let us always, Father, live by the examples, Father God, that we read in your word, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you show us your ways, Father God, that we may walk in them, Lord. Father, we just thank you once again, Lord. To you be all honor and all glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all,
Amen.
and we'll see you in a couple of weeks after we come back. And just to be in prayer, please, about the next book. And we'll email and email us back or text us back, and we can go from there.
But there will be no meetings or.
Correct.
Just for the next 2 weeks because we're going to be traveling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, have a safe trip.
Enjoy
Thank
it.
you.
Enjoy it.
Yes.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
Sounds great.
Good night, guys.
Okay, good
good
night.
night.